Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we invite you to be a part of today's Basic Gospel program. What's on your mind? What's in your heart today? Whether it's a Bible question or a social or a personal issue, we want to talk with you about it right now. And to do that, the phone lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada. We invite your call right now. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Indeed. Do call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and Andrew, welcome. Always glad to have you with us.
Yep. Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about your book, God Without Religion. It's of all the books you've written, it's my favorite one that you've put out. I think you just did a marvelous job, but why it's such an important book and why it's such an important resource that we want to put in people's hands this particular month is because so many people find themselves practicing religion and they're missing the fullness of experiencing the abundant life that Christ came to give us. And it's a sad state of affairs as far as Christians are concerned and as far as the church is concerned. It reminds me of what Paul wrote to the Colossians in his letter in chapter 2, verse 23. He says these, and he's talking about rules and regulations, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. He says these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. And that's where so many Christians find themselves, in self-made religion. That's where I was for many, many years of my early Christian life. I'd come to Christ, and then I didn't know what it meant to truly be a Christian, what exactly had happened to me. I knew something had happened to me. And so I tried to figure out the Christian life on my own, and I had a self-made Christian life, and it wasn't very good. But that's what Paul is saying here, that these things have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And certainly that was my story. But how do we break free from this self-made religion? How do we come to grips with the fact that it really is Jesus plus nothing?
Yeah, well, you know, we got to identify the distractions, and they are prevalent in the Bible Belt. We've got, how's your prayer life? Have you been praying lately? What frequency? What time of the day? Have you been confessing all your sins to make sure your prayers are heard? You know, how's your quiet time? What time are you getting up to do it? Are you doing it consistently? Have you missed any lately? How's your fasting? Have you considered the Daniel fast? Would you consider abstaining from this or that for a period of time so that God can speak to you? And these are the sort of common distractions that we see in the Bible Belt, but not in the Bible. Sure, there's obviously a healthy place for prayer. There's a healthy place for studying God's Word. There's even a healthy place for self-control in the Christian life. But at the end of the day, Bob, I think we have to recognize that everything is free. And when we talk about living under grace, we're saying that Jesus purchased it all. Jesus hand-delivered it all to us. All of that favor with God, all of that forgiveness from God, all of that righteousness that we've been chasing after, all of that trying to get right and stay right is a free gift. And it's not just a ticket to heaven. It's not just to get the ball rolling. It's not just to kick things off. This is every single day waking up, recognizing that through Jesus, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, I don't have to jump through hoops. I don't have to get right and stay right. I don't need three steps to this or five new practices for this. I don't fall in and out of God's will or fall in and out of fellowship or fall in and out of anything with God. He's got me in union with Christ by grace as a free gift. We have intimate connection with God forever. So that's what grace is. It's not just that initial ticket to heaven. It is recognizing that Jesus did it all. So when we wake up every day, we don't have to engage in that self-made religion. It may be popular. It may be trendy. We may hear it on Christian airwaves even. But at the end of the day, are we going to put our confidence in the Bible belt or in what the Bible actually says that Jesus did for us once for all?
And that is good news. And like you said, Andrew, that's freedom. And that's what we have as believers in Christ. But when we submit ourselves to those rules and regulations, to that self-made religion, we are returning to bondage, aren't we?
Yes. And, you know, we have to recognize that was essentially the original sin. Remember the result. They were naked. They were ashamed. They had measured themselves by some standard. They decided they needed to go and hide from God because they weren't okay. And if we're not careful, then we end up with a self-made religion just like they sought after. They were looking for a sense of good and evil, a new knowledge of good so that they could do a bunch of good, and a new knowledge of evil so they could avoid a bunch of evil. They were seeking a measuring stick. And once they decided to evaluate themselves by this self-made religion, the result was shame, shame, shame. And that is exactly what happens to us guys when we start measuring our prayer life, measuring our quiet time, measuring fasting, measuring our performance, trying to figure out the formula to get in and stay in, instead of recognizing, just as those first humans could have, hey, you know what? God set everything up, and I am in perfect standing with Him. I don't have to chase after any of it. And so when we recognize that that sort of self-made religion is actually sinful, and that God wants us to rest in Him, whoa, that just makes us realize all the more that we can taste and see that God is good, and he wants good things for us, and He wants us to be healthy. He doesn't want us chasing after religiosity when we've got righteousness.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about it. I know as a listener out there, you've had some experiences with religion. You've tried to do what you thought was right to earn your way into God's love and acceptance. So if you have something that you would like to share, your, quote, religious experience and how the grace of God broke you free, set you free, and put you really on the path of grace, we would love to hear from you today, and let's talk about it. It's a great time to talk about it, and I guarantee you your story will be an encouragement to others, because we all experience this self-made religion to some degree or another. We all need to be set free, and it's only this Jesus plus nothing gospel that can do it. So call right now. We'd love to hear from you.
And you can do that at 844-322-2742. And the U.S. and Canada, again, 844-322-2742. Well, Andrew and Bob, the two of you, our two ministries, the Grace Message and Basic Gospel, are coming together, united in message, purpose, and mission at a great conference coming up less than a month away, and I'd like the two of you to talk about it right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, righteousness for us has just been a Bible word, perhaps, or maybe a church word. Let's dig a little deeper. Let's talk about what it means to be perfectly right with God. Isn't that worth exploring? Well, we're going to do it at the United Conference. Because we are united with Christ, because we're one with Him, then He has given us the free gift of righteousness. It's not just for heaven. It's for every single minute, every second that we live and breathe. There is accusation coming at us. There's trouble in this world coming at us. We start taking all that in, and things get stressful, and we need answers. So at this conference, Bob, we're going to be talking about the free gift of righteousness. We're going to be talking about what it means to be totally forgiven. You, as well as I, we both know that there's an alternative message out there that, hey, you need to get more forgiven and get more cleansed, and maybe you're not fully forgiven yet, and you fell out of fellowship or fell out of God's will. And we hear all of these myths, all of these religious lies, and we need to dispel those lies and showcase the finished work of Christ. And that's exactly what we're going to do this October in Dallas, Texas, at the United Conference.
Absolutely. And all the information is available at basicgospel.net/united. And Bob, your thoughts on it?
Well, ditto to what Andrew said. You and I, Bob, have been a part of so many conferences through this ministry.
Sure.
I mean, we've done week-long conferences. We've done one-day conferences. We've done three- or four-day conferences like this is going to be. And regardless the length, regardless the location, the content, the power of the message always does amazing things in people's lives. And what I love about a conference setting is it gives people an opportunity to see the big picture. Oftentimes, you know, you go to a church service, you may listen to a radio broadcast, and you're getting a nugget, you're getting a little piece, and you hear about that piece, but you're not sure how that piece fits in the big puzzle,
right,
where it fits in the big picture. Well, here's an opportunity to get the big picture as far as the good news is concerned, to see where you find your place in that big picture. And you get an opportunity to actually ask questions. You know, as you're sitting there listening and hearing, a question pops up, you're going to have an opportunity to pose that question and to get an answer and see how it all fits together. So don't miss out on this. I mean, like I said, we've been probably to 100, 150 different conferences
That's right.
through the years, and it's just stunning to see what God does at each and every one, and I think this is going to be the best ever, so come join us October 15th through the 17th.
As a matter of fact, just 3 weeks from tomorrow it begins, and friends, we want you to be a part of it. We have reserved a block of rooms at the conference hotel at very special rates that will expire, however, at midnight on September 30th, so take advantage of that special arrangement for the conference, and you can stay on campus, and that's always a benefit. That's like I say, just 3 weeks from tomorrow. Again, the information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united. Going to be a wonderful time. We hope you are going to be there. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Chadrick, listening to us in Dallas, Texas. Chadrick, welcome to Basic Gospel Radio. You're on with us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being with me. Yes, I just had a question that I wanted to know y'all's opinion on. I'm a master's degree student here at a seminary in Dallas, not Dallas Theological Seminary, I wish. But in the final judgment, Jesus states that, you know, he will separate the sheep from the goat. And so, you know, as I listen to y'all and as I listen to many preachers, I don't feel like this is talked about enough, and maybe it isn't talked about enough because of the harsh reality behind it. So even if you are a believer, there's certain things that we are called to do as genuine Christ believers. And I'd like to know your thoughts on the final judgment in Matthew 25.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, my friend, and certainly that's something we talk about regularly, the final judgment. That's the beauty of God's grace, that he frees us from any punishment. You know, earlier we were talking about the book God Without Religion that we're spotlighting here in this upcoming month, and there's an entire chapter on the sheep and the goats and the final judgment and what believers can expect about that. And I think, you know, as a believer, we have to recognize that we are the sheep. We're not the goats. And in this message in Matthew 25, there are no shoats and there are no geep. There's no hybrid animal. There's no middle ground. There's no gray area. And, you know, it's the same in Revelation 20 and 21 with the great white throne. There's a group that is punished in Revelation 20, and then there's a group that is welcomed with open arms in Revelation 21. You know, it's the same as Paul teaches the Corinthians. There's a group that is recompensed for their bad deeds or their sins, and then there's a group that is given a reward, singular, because they gave a cup of water in his name or trusted him in general. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming and my reward is with me. So I think that once we see the judgment event as being black and white with no gray area, then John's words start to make sense, that his perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in God's love. So if we're afraid of the final judgment, it's because we're imagining punishment, John says, and we can dispel that idea of punishment if we understand the perfect love of God. But I hear you that for the unbeliever, I mean, Hebrews calls it a fearful expectation of raging fire. It will consume the enemies of God. I mean, clearly, that's not where you want to be. You want to be one of those who is a sheep, not a goat. You want to be one of those who called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And then there's no fear in God's perfect love. So let's preach the final judgment. Let's outline it. Let's show people what it is. But all the more important, let's show them the way out. Let's show them the way forward. Let's show them how they can escape through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And when we're speaking to an audience of believers, wow, let's highlight the love and forgiveness and grace of God that enabled us to escape such punishment. So I hope that clarifies and helps, my friend.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Chadrick. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of Andrew's book just to say thank you for jumping on with us today. And we certainly welcome any new callers that would like to call and be a part of today's broadcast as well. The number to call is 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Andrew, we have this question that came in from B, who's watching us on our YouTube channel. She's wanting to know about corporate fast, praying for something specific. She's been asked to fast until noon every day and pray for her sister-in-law's husband who is in ICU. Is that something of just going through the motions, or, you know, what is the purpose of those sort of things? Is that just empty religious activity, or does that serve a purpose?
Yeah, so as we look at the New Testament letters, I think we need to highlight the reality that there's no single mention, there's no mandate, there's no instruction for fasting in any of Paul's letters, Peter's, James, or John's letters. You have to go back and say, well, what was fasting and what is it? It is this idea of abstaining from something in order to gain focus. Now, 2,000 years ago, all of the entertainment revolved around food. They didn't have a movie theater. They didn't have a lot of the entertainment that we have today, television and Netflix and all those things. So they had feasts and festivals, and they had food. And that was the main centerpiece of entertainment. So the idea behind fasting was that would be a choice you would make to abstain from something for a short period of time in order to gain focus. Now, what it's not is some sort of formula to make sure your prayer is answered or make sure you get what you want. That's where fasting can be misunderstood. So I would say this, while it's been a tradition, while it's been a practice, especially among the Jews, you don't see it emphasized in the New Testament letters. It's not a mandate. It's not a requirement. It was something to give focus. And as far as you individually, I mean, each one of us is free. And if we feel like we're being distracted by something, great. Abstain from it for a while. Regain focus if you're being distracted. But never, ever look at abstinence from food or drink or anything else as some sort of leg up or leveling up like in a video game, spiritually speaking. Look, we've already leveled up. We're seated at the right hand of God. We are the righteousness of God. It doesn't get any better than that.
So, B, hope that helps. And, Andrew, just one last little point about that, and Bob Davis, you as well. You know, we have the privilege of praying for one another, and certainly We see a lot of encouragement to do so in the New Testament, and it's not that our prayers are because we all have a have gathered together and we're saying, hey, this is our desire, and God, now you're obligated to carry that out. It's really an expression of our love one for another, isn't it? I mean, we have that privilege and that opportunity to lift a brother or sister of Christ up in prayer to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And knowing that he cares for us and knowing that we can trust him in this particular situation. And really, that's what we're saying. And when we gather together and pray together, it's like, here's a problem that's bigger than us. We don't know what to do. Here's what we would like to see done. But we're entrusting this to you. We are trusting you, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. And I think when people know that you're praying for them, it's an encouragement to them. And it's welcomed by them. So it's something positive, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, Paul says, let your requests be made known to God. And there's this beautiful balance, guys. I think we find balance in, first of all, being real with God, being real with our Heavenly Father. Here are the things that are on my heart right now, and I want to share them with you, Father. And then at the same time, that attitude that Jesus displayed of, hey, at the end of the day, not my will, but your will be done. Now, I've expressed that if there's another way, Father, if we could do this another way, if there's a plan B, if there's another door I could walk through, fantastic. But at the end of the day, I'm open-handed. I surrender this to you. I release the outcome of this to you. And so by being real and by releasing the expectation, we find ourselves right in that beautiful place of balance with prayer and not looking at it as a formula.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for that answer, guys. And B, thank you for a very, very insightful question. We appreciate hearing from you as always. And guys, from Taylor, Texas, a nice comment and a question from Harold. He says, I can't express how encouraged I am to listen to Basic Gospel. You're my go-to wise counsel, folks. Now to my question, he says, it seems that most churches now are more interested in programs, process, and public display of personalities. Encouraging people to have a prayer life, sharing the gospel of their neighbor, or celebrating the Lord's Supper seem to take a back seat. How can my wife and I, in a practical way, direct folks back to the gospel? And he says, postscript, we love and support Basic Gospel.
It's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, Harold, I would say, first of all, have you considered gathering with a friend or even two or perhaps three or four and hosting a little event, nothing big, but hosting an event in a coffee shop or in your living room? Or, you know, it sounds to me, Harold, like you have a beautiful opportunity for an outlet. You're seeking an outlet to share the love and grace of God. You've learned so much through Basic Gospel. You're now a seasoned believer who knows the love and grace of God, and you're looking to pass it on. And I think you would be so fulfilled and enjoy it so much if you had the opportunity for a regular coffee or a home group or seeking some kind of outlet where you get to look into God's Word together with others and share the good news of Jesus.
Yes, indeed. And I think that's so important for you to take that opportunity to reach out. I know in my life, as a young Christian, I kept getting so critical of the church. Why isn't the church doing this? Why isn't the church doing that? Why isn't the church doing this? And finally, it's like the Lord hit me over the head with a frying pan and saying, well, why aren't you doing something?
Why aren't you doing it? Yeah.
And so I think we have to look at these things and say, hey, God, use me. God, I'm going to make myself available as a living sacrifice for you to live your life through me. And whatever that looks like, I'm excited to be a part of it, excited to participate in what you want to do in people's lives and use me as a part of that.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thank you for being a part of another edition of Basic Gospel. Remember, you're the reason we're on the air every day, bringing this good news of the gospel of grace in our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the reason we do this, and you, through your financial support, are the reason we're able to do it. So thanks to everyone, and you can donate now or anytime, as you know, at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that the listener line is always open for those of you who can't call during the regular broadcast, the live broadcast I speak of. If you have questions about a particular Bible passage or about the Christian life, well, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and we, of course, will discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number always open for you, 844-322-2742. We hope you'll use it overnight. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and our ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.